Well, good morning, church. I want to welcome all of you who are watching online today and say thank you. Thank you for joining us for church online today here at Riverside. We are so glad that you decided to join us and to be a part of what God is doing in this place today. If you're watching for the first time, or maybe you've been tracking with us the last 2 or 3 weeks, I want you to know that you are invited to come and join us when we are able to gather together again in this place. We would love for you to be our honored guest, and we look forward to that day. I've got 2 or 3 quick things I want to share with you before we begin today. First off, we are planning to honor our seniors this week. I know the school year has not ended the way any of us thought it would or would have even imagined. But as we draw this school year to a close, we do want to take time to honor our seniors and let them know just how much we love them, how proud we are of them. So this Tuesday night from 5 to 6 p.m., we will have a parade right here in our parking lot for our seniors. They'll be set up under different tents across our parking lot, and you'll be able to do sort of a drive-by, to drive through our parking lot along sort of a designated route to see all of our seniors, to wave, to share your congratulations with them. And I know they would love to see you. They would love to hear from you and love to for you to be a part of this experience. So if you would, let's make plans to be all of us to be a part of this on Tuesday night. Come out, do a drive-through, and congratulate our seniors. If you signed up to pray for our seniors, let me remind you to be praying for them this week. And even if you didn't, let me go ahead and encourage you. Let's be praying for our seniors right now during this time as they bring this school year to a close and they get ready for the next season of their lives. Seniors, we love you. We are so proud of you. We are praying for you, and we are excited for how God is going to use you in this world to make a difference in the lives of others and to bring heaven to earth. So congratulations on this accomplishment, and I want you to know we are always here for you, and we love you. Also this week, you probably received an email, I hope you did, in your inbox if you're a part of our weekly newsletter that sort of gives you some information about what we're thinking as a leadership in terms of reopening as a church. And of course, what I mean by that is it's just a chance for us to begin gathering again in this place for worship. Man, I know so many of you, including myself, this has been a really difficult season to be separated from our church family. And while we're still the church, and right now we're the church scattered, we are looking forward to a time we can gather again in this place. I want to encourage you to go to that email and read that information. It's going to lay out more information than I can share here, but I do want you to know a couple of quick things. First of all, we are going to continue to worship from home from now through the end of May. We continue to reevaluate the decision on a weekly basis, and we are making plans for what it will look like when we are able to reopen and do that in a safe way so we can gather again to worship in this place. Again, more information is in that email. Let me encourage you to read that. If for some reason you didn't get it, just send me a note. You can text me, email me, send me a message on Facebook or any of our elders or staff, and we will share that information with you. We are making plans for that day, and we're looking forward to doing that in a safe way. We continue to listen to our local officials, to guidelines by the CDC, and talking to some of our very own healthcare professionals right here at Riverside, taking all of that counsel into consideration as we make those plans. And we're praying that we'll be able to do that soon. Of course, as in all things, we rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us in every decision, and we pray for His help in this particular decision at this time, and we ask you to pray for that as well. All right, today we're excited because we have a special treat. I am so thankful, humbled, and honored that our friend Dr. Paul Day is with us today to bring a message to us. And I know that today you will be encouraged and you will be blessed by the message that Paul is going to share with us today. Let me encourage you right now. If you know someone who is struggling, someone who needs a word of hope, someone who would just be encouraged by hearing this message, take a moment right now, push pause on this message video, and send them a text or a message and invite them to watch along with you. I can promise you, Dr. Paul Day is one of the most encouraging and inspirational people I know. He preaches for the Oak Gardens Church right here in Dallas. He is an incredible servant of God, and I know that today we are going to be encouraged by his words. So I could not be more honored. Paul, thank you for joining us and for serving our church family in this way. We love you, we're thankful for you, and we're excited to hear from you today.
I've heard the thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper. tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am.
Bless you, Riverside Church of Christ. It is such a blessing to be back with you, this time virtually. I so wish I could be in your presence, but due to the pandemic that we are all experiencing, it was wise counsel for us to continue a virtual worship experience. But with that, I hope that the love I have for you and your leaders and your members exudes through this filming. And I'm giving you a virtual hug right now. But one day we'll be able to all be back together and worship in a corporate physical sense in the near future. I just want to first of all tell your wonderful pulpit minister, Brother Corey, and the elders of the church, how much I value the relationship that we're blessed to have. Corey and I have been blessed to talk a few times on the phone, and we're trying to get a lunch together, but we can't find an open restaurant right now. But you are blessed to have such a man of God like Corey and his lovely family and all of your leadership staff. But but there's a couple that I have a fondness for, a relationship with, and it's also good to always be able to speak to Doug, one of your elders there, and we thank God for the relationship that God has blessed us to nurture over the last few years, and hope and pray that that relationship will continue, and all the membership at large, all those citizens of the kingdom of God, but also the citizens of the Riverside Church. It is such a blessing to be with you this morning. I want to pray first, and then we're going to read one simple text that has spoken volumes to me through this time of anxiety, this time of frustration, even through this time of uncertainty, that God still gives comfort. God still gives peace through this situation or this scene that we find ourselves in life. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you so much for an opportunity to read your word, to participate in a relationship with you giving us your word for comfort, for guidance, and even for spiritual development. God, help us to learn something from this time of isolation, this time of frustration, but also this time of quarantine, that maybe because we were so busy, that we left you on the sideline. But hopefully and prayerfully, this will be a time where we're able to rekindle that relationship that you've always desired to have with us. Prayerfully, we are praying more. We're reading your word more. We're trusting in you more. And God, if that's what we learn out of this situation, we can all say in unison, it is well with our souls. Thank you for the Riverside Church, its wonderful minister and the elders and deacons and all of the members of the Riverside Church. We praise God for each one of them and can't wait until we can fellowship in the flesh once again. Please forgive us of our sins. In your son's name we do pray, and all who believe said amen. If you would turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, and I just want to read two verses to you. We could read the whole book of Philippians. It is a book that deals with joy. It's a book that deals with triumphing over those situations in life. But Philippians chapter 4 really resonates right now through this time that we are experiencing. In verse number 6 of Philippians chapter 4, the Bible says, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and now don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I want to read that text also from the New International Version. Same context, but there are some word usage that Paul uses in here that I want to really illuminate. It says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. This morning, just for a few minutes, I want to preach on the subject, when peace conquers anxiety. When peace conquers anxiety. It was something that I experienced. My wife and I have one son by the name of Blake Paul Day, and something my wife and I would argue over when he was a toddler was who was going to pick him up. We both wanted to show up to the daycare or the learning center to pick up our son. Let me tell you why. Because it was magical when we would go pick him up. When he was about 2 or 3 years old, when you would come around the corner and he would witness you at the door, he would take whatever he was doing, he would drop it. And it was like music opened up from heaven, and birds started flying over, and horses were running next to the beach, and it was just slow motion. He would run towards me, and I would run towards him, and we would hug and embrace as if we have never seen each other before. I noticed when he got to the third grade, about the fourth grade, that excitement for me remained, but the excitement for him changed. And I remember standing there at the school that he currently goes to right now, and I told his third grade teacher, I said, something has changed with our son. I don't understand what's going on. She said, what do you mean? I said, when I used to pick him up years ago, he would take off running and jump in my arms. We would embrace and hug, and music would take off and all of that stuff. I said, now he just simply goes to get his backpack, and he just without any excitement comes towards me, and we go get in the car. I said, I miss the moments where he used to act like there was no one in the world but his father. She said, well, it's natural. I've been teaching the third and fourth grade for about 20 years now. It's natural for kids to shift during the third and fourth grade and not be so excited about you picking them up. I said, why is that so? She said something that I think goes with this text today. She said, for years, when you have a toddler, they are not sure that you're going to show back up to pick them up. So every day that you show up as a father and pick them up is a day of rejoicing, because the number one fear of a toddler is that they will be left. But after consistently picking him up, he stops wondering if you're going to pick him up, and now he expects for you to pick him up. She said, when you are a consistent, good parent, the excitement minimizes on their part because they expect for you to come and get them every time they are in need. That's simply what the Apostle Paul, who is sitting in a prison right now, writing to us about anxiety. He is simply saying, why would you and I stress out over our physical limitations during this time when your God, our Father, which art in heaven, who picked us up yesterday, don't you trust him to pick us up tomorrow? I think it's amazing that Paul uses the word picture here of anxiety. I think it's shocking to find out that America is the most anxious place in the world. It beat Sudan, it beat Guatemala, it beat some third world countries that are financially depressed, even war-torn countries. America has more anxiety, medically induced anxiety, than people who we would view to not have anything. It's simply because we have created a culture that trusts us more than trusts our Father, which is in heaven. And that produces anxiety. It produces unnecessary stress. And Paul says, what anxiety do you have when you cast your cares on the Lord? This word anxiety in the original language in the Greek is a word that says that when you are anxious about something, it's simply saying that you have a dueling mindset of reality fighting against the fear that tries to dwarf reality. Okay, let me give it to you again. It's actually a double-minded person who is anxious. It's that you can prove what God has done, but what you fear dwarfs out what God has done, and you treat God as if he has never done anything. That's what Paul is suggesting here in our text when it says in Philippians 4, verse number 6, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has already done. Here's the remedy for dealing with anxiety. Remember what he's already done. And if you can remember what he's already done, it will subside the fears of anxiety that you and I have, and it will dwarf the fear, and it will promote the reality that our God has us covered. That's simply what Paul says here, is he's saying, don't be a dual-minded person. Know that if God picked you up yesterday, God will pick you up today, and I know my God is faithful, and he'll even pick us up tomorrow. So when you are dealing with stress and when you are dealing with anxiety, it's actually an indictment on God that simply says that I don't trust that God can handle this. Let me let that sink in. I think I just heard somebody say amen virtually. That when you have anxiety, John Piper says in his book, anxiety is saying this issue is bigger than what my God can handle. So if right now we're going through anxiety, and it's natural to have concern, it's natural to have fear, it's natural to worry and wonder what's going to happen. But if your anxiety, if your fear, if your worry ever usurps your ability to believe God can fix it, now the fear of the devil has won out over the consistency of our God. So what does Paul say? Paul, first of all, says that you have to learn how to address anxiety. Now, here it is. Because one thing I love about Paul's writings is not only does he promote the problem, he also gives us a resolution to the problem. He, first of all, says if you're dealing with anxiety through this time, if you're dealing with the fear of the unknown, he says here's how you resolve. He says you cast your cares on him. Where does it say cast your care? That's what prayer is. Don't be anxious about anything. Verse number 6. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank God for what he's already done. This word prayer here, this word, this is a word picture. Paul says, if you're dealing with anxiety, if you're dealing with fear, he's simply saying, cast your cares on God to relieve your anxiety. How do you do that? Every day when I come in from the house, come in from work, from the church office, I always have a bag. I take some books from the house to church and my laptop, and I bring that laptop and books back home if I want to work that night. There is a little table at the back entry of our house that my wife put there for us to release whatever we are carrying onto that table until we need it. But here's the problem. When you pray and you never release your anxiety, it's actually you are carrying around heavy weight all day long that is undue you, and that is something you can't do anything about anyway. How silly would it be for me to have my backpack on my back while we're sitting there eating dinner? How silly would it be for me to go play in the backyard with my son still wearing that backpack? How silly would I look to get in the bed and still have that backpack when the table is there to receive what is weighing me down? That's what Paul says. When you pray, it is a release on you. It is a release off of you to put what you can carry on God, who can carry everything. That's a good word for somebody today, that our God wants to carry the weight of the anxiety and the stress that you can't carry yourself. Let me tell you why I know you and I can't carry. Jesus himself said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you guys are worried about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and what you're going to do tomorrow. He says, look at the birds in the air. They don't stay up all night trying to figure out where the worm is going to come from. Have you ever seen a bird in your backyard scratching his head about where he's going to eat tomorrow? No. Every day those birds get up early. Get up early. Now, this is not to say God is going to drop a worm in his mouth, but it knows it's there for him or her if they'll work for it. And he said, if God would take care of a bird, don't you think he would take care of you? He said, look at the lilies in the field, how they don't worry about tarling and they don't worry about where they're planted, but the Lord knows every lily by its name and takes care of them with such great care. And if the Lord would take care of a lily and to take care of a bird, don't you think he would take care of his children who he loves so much? And even through this time of anxiety, this time of fear, this time of COVID-19, this time of a world where we can't get good information, we can't get factual information, where the truth is a lie and the lie is a truth, that we are in a time where we can't even trust what's being said from different organizations that we used to believe in. Well, there's no more. You can't even watch the news because everybody has a slant. God says, watch me, because I've proven to you I'm consistent, I'm faithful, I am watching over you. So cast your care to him. So if you're struggling with anxiety, if you're struggling with that fear of the unknown, Paul suggests, why don't you pray? God will take care of it. But this is what I want to leave you with. Paul ends this by saying, after you learn how to pray and how prayer resolves your anxiety, here is one of the hardest texts in the New Testament scripture. He says in verse number 7, then you will experience God's peace. Okay. He says you will experience God's peace. And then once you experience God's peace, you have to guard your hearts and minds to keep that peace that's in Christ Jesus. Okay, I'm gonna leave you with this. He says, once you figure out how to resolve yourself from anxiety and fear with prayer, then it's not a one act. It is a consistent battle to guard that peace that the devil wants to take away from you and I. Okay. I'm just guessing, I have no factual proof on this, but I'm just thinking that if Paul is in prison writing this letter to the church at Philippi, and he uses the word guard, it is actually the word that would produce a protective custody that is hard to get it in, but it's even harder to keep it in. I can imagine Paul writing this letter, looking outside of his cell walls at guards who are protecting him from getting out. What is Paul saying here? I believe that Paul is saying that peace is hard to get, but peace is even more difficult to keep. Now, peace is something that when you get it, it's such a euphoria, it's such a beautiful thing. And you never get peace by money. You never get peace by new clothes. You don't get peace by a new car. You don't get peace by who you're married to or how many children you have. The only peace that you can get, Paul presents it right here, it is in Christ Jesus. That peace comes because if I trust Christ, if I trust my prayer pattern, if I trust the rhythms of life that God has me going through, and I can trust a Jesus who would leave heaven, come down to earth, die on the cross, rose on the third day, walked among his disciples and followers, and now is on the right hand of the Father. If I can trust that process, I ought to be able to trust what he is doing in my life, because he's producing something even through some dark times. He's producing something even through some dark times. When I first went to college, and it was on my parents' money, when I went to college, I took every class I could find that was easy. And I ended up taking at Southern University in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, I took a class called photography. Back then, we didn't have digital cameras. We didn't have cameras that could produce immediately. You had to have a film where you would take it in a dark room. And in the dark room, what would happen is you had to make sure nobody else was in there but you. And you would turn off all the lights. It would be a blue light up there, and you would produce your film in this liquid, and it was a painstaking process. But if anybody ever exposed light or opened up a door while you were in the dark room alone, it would mess up the picture that you were trying to present that you took a long time ago. That might be what God is doing for you and I. He's trying to create an atmosphere where we can guard our peace, but he has to do it with you and I going in the dark room. So what he produced, what he saw in us long time ago, before we were born, he's trying to produce in us a picture of the masterpiece who he is in Jesus Christ. He wants us to look more like him. He wants us to act like him. He wants us to be representatives of Jesus Christ. And you can't do that when you and I are wary about stuff that God has control over. So this is my challenge to each one of us. If you're worried, start praying. If you pray, stop worrying. And once you find that sweet spot, guard your heart with Jesus Christ at the center of the focus and let him hold on to that peace that transcends all understanding. If you're here and you want to accept Jesus Christ, what a beautiful time to do it. The Riverside elders and leaders and minister are ready to receive you into the grace of Jesus Christ. And then you'll get that peace. If you're here and you just want to be restored back to the flock because you've fallen away and God has gotten your attention during this time of isolation, we would love to pray with you. We would love to partner with you. And we would love to walk with you as you walk to the masterpiece that Christ wants you to be. I want to pray for us and close us out. Once again, I am so thankful to be a part of this series of lessons, but also I'm thankful that Corey and the elders, Doug and all of those, the staff at Riverside will choose me to be a part of this virtual service today. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer. Father God, we love you. Thank you for this anointed time in your word. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for giving us a word that gives us peace during a time of unrest. Thank you, Father, for that peace that passes all understanding. Help us to learn how to deal with anxiety. Help us to learn that the resolution for anxiety is prayer. And when we cast our cares on you, we can learn how to get that peace that transcends all understanding. And then we have to guard that because the devil wants to release that peace so we can have fear. But you didn't create us to be fearful beings. You created us to have confidence, not in ourselves, but confidence in you. Please forgive us of our sins. Thank you for this opportunity of fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Dear God, take care of us, but most of all, help us to learn what you want us to learn in this season, even in this time of our isolation. Thank you for being better to us than we would ever know how to be to ourselves. In your Son's name we do pray. And all who believe said amen. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.
Thank you, Paul, so much for that incredible message and for that reminder that as those of us who have decided to follow Jesus, we are not in this alone. And anytime we experience fear or anxiety or worry on any level, we can take that in prayer to our Father, who is always there to listen, to hear, and to help us in our time of need. I'm so grateful that we could hear that message again today and be reminded of who we are and the kind of Father we have. And church, I just want to remind you this week that as we continue to go through this season of uncertainty, that there are things that are certain, there are things that are true. And one of those things that you can count on is your Heavenly Father. He is there, he is present. He may feel far away, but the truth is he has never been more near. And every time you pray, he bends an ear to listen. Today, he is here for you. He loves you. You are loved by God. You are loved by your church family. And let me just say this again. If you continue to walk through this season and you find yourself discouraged or in need in any way, reach out to one of us. Your church family loves you too. And we are here to help you and to encourage you and to walk alongside with you. So today, let's practice taking everything to our Father in prayer. I pray you have a great week, an incredible week, and I look forward to joining you next week as we begin a new series that we're calling Promises. And it's a chance for us to be reminded of even more of these promises of God that he has given to us, things that we can count on in this season of uncertainty. These are the things that are eternal, that we can build our lives on. Have a great week. I love you, and we'll see you soon.